This is Holy Thursday, the Mass of the Lord's Supper. The epistle for this Mass is taken from the first epistle of St. Paul to the Corinthians. Brethren, when you meet together, it is no longer possible to eat the Lord's Supper, for at the meal, each one takes first his own supper, and one is hungry, and another drinks overmuch. Have you not homes, houses for your eating and drinking, or do you despise the church of God and put to shame the needy? What am I to say to you? Am I to commend you? In this I do not commend you. For I myself have received from the Lord what I also delivered to you, that the Lord Jesus, on the night in which he was betrayed, took bread, and giving thanks, broke and said, "Take and eat, this is my body, which shall be given up for you. Do this in remembrance of me." In like manner also the cup, after he had supped, saying, "This cup is the new covenant in my blood. Do this as often as you drink it in remembrance of me. For as often as you shall eat this bread and drink the cup, you proclaim the death of the Lord until he comes. Therefore, whoever eats this bread or drinks the cup of the Lord unworthily will be guilty of the body and the blood of the Lord. But let a man so prove himself, and so let him drink of that bread, eat of that bread, and drink of the cup. For he who eats and drinks unworthily, without distinguishing the body, eats and drinks judgment to himself. This is why many of you are infirm and weak, and many sleep. But if we judged ourselves, we should not thus be judged. But when we are judged, we are being chastised by the Lord, that we may not be condemned with this world. Please stand for the Gospel. The Gospel, the Holy Gospel of this Mass, is taken from the account according to St. John, chapter 13, verses 1 to 15. Before the feast of the Passover, Jesus, knowing that the hour had come for him to pass out of this world to the Father, having loved his own who were in the world, loved them to the end. And during the supper, the devil, having already put it into the heart of Judas Iscariot, the son of Simon, to betray him, Jesus, knowing that the Father had given all things into his hands, and that he had come forth from God and was going to God, rose from the supper and laid aside his garments, and taking a towel, girded himself. Then he poured water into the basin and began to wash the feet of the disciples and to dry them with the towel with which he was girded. He came then to Simon Peter, and Peter said to him, "Lord, do you wash my feet?" Jesus answered and said to him, "What I do you know not now, but you shall know hereafter." Peter said to him, "You shall never wash my feet." Jesus answered to him, "If I do not wash you, you shall have no part with me." Simon Peter said to him, "Lord, not my feet only, but also my hands and my head." Jesus said to him, "He who has bathed needs only to wash, and he is clean all over. And you are clean, but not all, for he knew who it was that would betray him. That is why he said, you are not all clean. Now after he had washed their feet and put on his garments, when he had reclined again, he said to them, do you know what I have done to you? You call me Master and Lord, and you say well, for so I am. If therefore I, the Lord and Master, have washed your feet, you also ought to wash the feet of one another. For I have given you an example, that as I have done to you, so you also should do. Thus far the words of today's Holy Gospel. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Ghost. Amen. In this abbreviated Mass of Holy Thursday, the first Mass in my entire life that I have seen like this, their church puts away her garments of penance and sorrow, and at this moment, the moment of betrayal, she puts on white vestments for the institution of the Holy Eucharist and the priesthood. This is the day that these sacraments were confected, were created. That's why the white vestments, and that's why at least in some way we have the bells. It is, however, the greatest gift that God has given to us, the holy sacrifice of the Mass, the only true worship acceptable to God, the infinite value of this holy Mass, the worship of the Son of God. It is the victim of Calvary and the priest of Calvary. In it, there is found adoration, thanksgiving, atonement, satisfaction, reparation, and petition. And as you should know by now, for the amount of times I have told you this, the church exists not first for the salvation of souls. Now that's revolutionary to say, but it is the truth. The church exists not for the salvation of souls, not for the welfare of men. No, the church exists primarily for the Mass. And from that come everything else. That's why you're a priest for the Mass. You're a priest for Jesus Christ, to offer worship, offer to the Holy Trinity. It is not then a man-centered religion that we endorse, nor that we belong to. Consequently, when a person says, I get nothing out of the Mass, that is one of the more absurd remarks that a man can make. I get nothing out of the Mass. My friend, it's what you give to the Mass, not what you get out of it. What you give in union with Jesus Christ, our Lord, to perpetuate then the same act of Calvary, to be united with Christ on the cross, head and members, transcending history. That's what we do at Mass. And this is found, of course, in the double consecration of bread and wine, body from blood, and so on. And then to be able to receive of its benefits from the Mass, from the sacrifice of Calvary. So, sanctifying grace. Remission of sins. Averting of punishments. Bestowing of favors. Salvation. And the reliving of the passion of Christ in our times. And that's what our Lord meant when he said, do this, he says to his priests, whom he had just ordained, do this in remembrance of me, in memory of me, a memory that is living, not as a picture, but a living memorial to reenact what our Lord did during the Last Supper. And so first we want to remind you then of the sacrifice and of the sacrament of the Eucharist. We spoke of the Eucharist as a sacrifice. Let us say a word now about the Eucharist as a sacrament. It is the true and real and substantial presence of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, with all of his accidents. It is the miracle of miracles. We say that loosely because in the Mass there is no phenomena that you find in miracles. It is a hidden truth, one that demands faith on your part. But it's the means of perfect union with Christ and his life-giving death. It is his intention to be our food in this life, preparing you for heaven. That's the reason why we reserve the Blessed Sacrament, to be the food, you see, of those who are unable to assist at Mass when it is celebrated. It is also reserved to be our companion, to impart life to us, divine life. And so, good Catholics make visits to the Blessed Sacrament to be with our Lord, to be his companion, to have him as their companion, to exchange sentiments of love, of affection, to implore help, assistance in daily struggles. We are indeed fortunate here, since we live with the Blessed Sacrament here in this house, to be our strength, our comfort in times of distress. Even if we can't make the visits as often as we like, we still know that he is here to give us a foretaste of heaven. And that's one of the great benefits of receiving our Lord daily, a foretaste of heaven. In the dissertation, if you like, of the Eucharist, one of the parts that is not emphasized enough that St. Thomas Aquinas mentions in the reception of the Holy Eucharist is the experience of joy, joy, true joy, the reveling in the good that we possess. And where is that joy found? It is found amidst all of the trials of this life, all of them, including the present. Joy in the face of sorrow. Joy in the possession of heaven that awaits us. That's the promise of the Holy Eucharist. He who eats my flesh and drinks my blood has life everlasting, says the Savior, and I will raise him up on the last day. The promise of eternal joy, the foretaste of heaven, and the promise as well of the resurrection of the flesh. That's why, you see, good Catholics don't cremate their dead. Why? Because the body is sacred. Pagans cremate. Because they think the flesh is gone and that's the end. Good Catholics do not. Because they know that the body is asleep. And even though it falls to dust naturally, it awaits the call of the angels to raise up the dead back to life and be with our Lord in heaven, to be our guide in the way of salvation. And that too is something that we fail to remember when we pray. Even we who pray to the Eucharist daily, Lord, lead me, lead me. Give me light to understand your will now. It is not God's will that we forever remain blind in this world. Yes, in some ways we are. But we are also promised light to interpret the signs of the times and to know the meaning of the events of the world. That's what gave the saints such courage, such foresight, such words of wisdom. The Eucharist as well, as you know from your history, but history that is well understood, the author of all good culture. It is not by the ingenuity of men that we have today whatever is good in our society that is now, in these days, crumbling. It is because of the Eucharist that has given men insight, leadership, direction as to the affairs of men, culture, civilization. I have said to people many times, without the Eucharist, we would still be barbarians. We would still be like bleating sheep without the Eucharist. It is the Eucharist that has given us delicacy. Insight, understanding, compassion. All those things that we admire today in modern society, like hospitals, homes for the sick and the aged, and so on. And who founded those things? Catholic institutions that were supplanted by the state because of the inspiration of the Holy Eucharist and the words and actions of Christ in it that we see modeled in the Gospel. Before that, there was nothing like it. Nothing. Our ancestors, those people who lived and died for the Eucharist, can testify to that. Not only the saints and the martyrs, but also those countless souls who breathed the air of the Holy Eucharist. And gave to us what they have lived for, what they died for. And then, of course, you see, there's freedom. The freedom that some people want to take away from us today in the stripping of human rights and so on. And who gave us a consciousness of those things? Our founding fathers? I don't think so. I don't think so. They got that from Jesus Christ. They got that from the freedom of the gospel, from the freedom of the Holy Eucharist. Why? Because you see, and this is found in the Mass too, Christ is still alive. How do we know? Because of the resurrection. Even his enemies cannot take away one farthing from the almighty power of God in his Eucharist. The Eucharist, then, is the guarantee of our earthly freedom as a preface and as it were, an impetus of the freedom of the sons of God that no man can take from you. Yes, they may put you to death. They may beat you, crucify you, but they cannot take away your freedom. One poet put it this way, a Christian poet. If I have love within my heart, divine love, and in my soul am free, then angels alone, who soar above, enjoy such liberty. I paraphrase, but that is the crux of that poem from the Sonnets of the Portuguese. So you are free, and don't let anyone, don't permit any propaganda, however powerful, to compromise, to question the liberty of the sons of God that the Mass renews every day. You belong to God. And that by your baptism and the Eucharist. And then, of course, there is the priesthood. People don't realize the great power of the priesthood. Some think that it is merely an acknowledgement of men because of his learning, because of his status. That's not the priesthood. The priesthood is a creation of Jesus Christ. The priesthood is a sharing of the power of the Son of God to confect the Holy Eucharist, to make present again the body and blood of Christ, and to administer the sacraments that lead up to the Eucharist or flow from it. That is what a priest is. And if he forgets that, he is nothing. His life is meaningless. The purpose of the priesthood is to confect the Eucharist and to bring souls to it. The identity of the priest is from the Holy Eucharist. I have never been able to understand priests who don't want to celebrate the Holy Mass every day without that. Priest has no meaning at all. And that is the reason why so many priests abandon their priesthood, even while remaining priests in appearance, or whether they have abandoned it altogether by returning to secular life while still remaining the powers of the priesthood. Remember, brethren, you were married until you die. But you're a priest forever. Even in hell, you're a priest. Because of that, may we say, ontological transformation that takes place in your soul, that lifts you up and makes you out of this world. Identity of the priest, then, is paramount to your understanding of what you are as a priest. That's why, above all things, you as priests and as future priests must remember this always. They can strip you of your name. They can imprison you. They can ridicule you. They can make you feel like dirt and treat you as such and defame you. But they cannot take away what is in your soul. They cannot take away your identity as one who belongs to Jesus Christ, whole and entire, fully. He has given you not only his power, but he has given you his mind. His mind. That's why, you see, in your training, you are instructed to think the thoughts of Christ. You are instructed, and you are, let us say, formed to be other Christs, to represent him in this world. Whether people know it or not, whether they appreciate it or not, doesn't change the truth. The truth is that you are one of God's own, not by your choice, but by his choice. You have not chosen me. I have chosen you. And when you think, as I do sometimes, of all the people whom I have known, who are so much better than I, but God chose me, I'm sure I don't know why, but he has. He has placed a burden on me, a burden of total love, complete dedication, I want you to think about this, particularly in these days, because the world needs priests more than ever. And they're very hard to find. True priests. Priests on fire with the supernatural. Priests on fire with love of Jesus Christ. The church needs priests to give us God in the flesh, to forgive sins and administer the sacraments, to teach, to counsel, to give us the words of God. A Protestant minister once said about priests and the Holy Eucharist, if I could believe that Jesus Christ was really in what Catholics call the most blessed sacrament of the altar, I would forever be on my knees and adore him. And Saint John Vianney says, to love the Holy Mass and the priesthood is a sign of you're destined for heaven. To reject it is a sign of impending damnation. We are in an age now, on days now, that are, well, I guess you might say mysterious. Mysterious, and I'm using it euphemistically. Christ, our Lord and Savior, I have noticed in every analysis of these days that I have found is not even mentioned at all. But you know, in this gospel, or rather this epistle, St. Paul says that infirmities such as ours is a result of neglect of the Holy Eucharist. That's what St. Paul says. Many of you are weak and infirm, and many sleep. That means die and sick. That's what he says. Because you don't recognize the body of Christ and all that he stands for, all that he is. I think, maybe I'm presumptuous, I think that we are the only ones that give the true reason and meaning of what's happening today. The world has gone mad in its wars, in its violence, in its injustice, in the sins of every dimension, impurities, injustices. The world has gone mad. And worst of all, even Christians, Catholics, treat the Eucharist with no regard at all, with irreverences, sacrileges, blasphemies. And I suggest that that is the reason why we are in this state today. Isn't it curious, don't you think, that the worst of this virus that suddenly came upon us is located in Rome, in Italy? Isn't it curious? And no one says a word about it. People are losing their jobs. Now you say, why is it, Father, that all these people who have nothing to do with the Christian church, why are they suffering as well all over the world? And I say in the answer to that, that is because of the solidarity of the human race. That's the reason. When God is angry, he punishes everybody. Everyone. And so when innocent people seem to be sick and die, it's because we are one with them. We did this to them. Yes. We are the ones who bring God's wrath down on the whole world. Isn't it interesting, too, that in the last modern apparitions of the Virgin Mary, what is the continual injunction besides all the messages? Penance, penance, because of God who is too much offended. His Son who comes to bring goodness, mercy, forgiveness, heaven. And we treat him like a common thief. We treat him with contempt. We presume upon his goodness. And the cup is filling up. There are people who will say that what I'm saying is unreasonable. Is it? There are people who will say that I am a fanatic, that I'm blaming God for the offenses of the people, for the sufferings of the people. Am I? Am I? I suggest that once we have a true conversion of life, that is the obligation of priests, who are the fairest perpetrators of offending God, once they convert, I suggest that things will be better. More than that, I do not know, after Lourdes and Fatima and all of these things that coming to pass, I do not know what the outcome will be. We are hearing conflicting reports about how much worse and how much better things are. It's true. One report, everything's worse and getting worse. And then you see, oh, it's better. I don't know. I hope that this is not the beginning of further chastisements from Almighty God. This one, although natural in its nature, seems to be odd, or let us say, different in its origin. It came out of the blue. I don't know where it's going. I just know that the solution is one that people are not willing to take. Conversion of life, penance, and return to the Holy Mass and the sacraments. That's what I do know. And so it is on this occasion that even the people who are good are people, good relatively. Even they have been deprived of the liturgy. Even they. This is clearly, to me, clearly, the wrath of God on us all. I'm hoping that you will take what I'm saying seriously and do your utmost to restore, in whatever way we can, love of the Holy Eucharist, love of what this day represents in the Mass, the sacrament of the Eucharist, and the priesthood. May God bless you.